It's time now for the Pigskin Playoff Preview Show on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. A complete look at this year's IHSA football playoff pairings plus coaches' interviews. The Pigskin Playoff Preview Show is brought to you by Coppers Creek Outfitters, AC McCartney Equipment, Sullivan Auctioneers, Essig Motors, Agtegrity Precision, Skinner Landscaping, Jeff's Auto Body and Towing, Diamond Ag, Orwig Auction and Appraisal, Compere Financial, Alito Happy Joes, Nutrien Ag Solutions in New Boston, Viola and Alexis, Riddle Roofing, and by Lucky Duck. Now let's head over to the WRMJ studios for this year's Pigskin Playoff Preview.
And good evening, everyone. It is the WRMJ Pigskin Playoff Preview. You're listening to 102.3 FM, online at WRMJ.com, and streaming via the WRMJ app. We have quite a panel here tonight. It's myself, Ty Taylor. We have Coach Bill Breeden. We have Coach Glenn Cook. We have Jim Taylor here, too. Guys, I feel like I'm completely out of my element with four celebrities in the house tonight. So what's going on here? How's that going, everybody?
I'm going to reference Jason Kirby because he's probably listening tonight because he's the youngest here. And Jason Kirby, 20 years ago, told me on a post-game interview to shut up and listen. I was waiting for Coach Cook to say that to you. No, it's great to have the panel here. And when I always think about the playoffs, Ty, I always think about when I first arrived in Alito back in 1990. And that's when Coach McCarty was the head coach. And you know who his defensive coordinator was? Bill Breeden. And you know who their big rival was? Oh, the Rockridge Rockets, who Glenn Cook was their PA announcer. And I always think about that this time of the year. I always reflect back to those days, you know, when the technology was a little bit different and the anticipation, I think, is just as equal. But there was more unknowns in the 90s with compared to today. But I guess I begin with you, Coach Breeden. This is a really awesome time of the year where you really, you know, the excitement builds, get into that 10th week, and maybe you think, do we have the makings of a special run?
That's right, Jim. And it was always so much fun because, well, number one, you made it. There's some concrete evidence that you did it. You the players did it. You had a good year. Number two, you never knew who you were going to play. And that added to the enigma. It added to the excitement. And first story of the night. Go back to when you're talking about. And I start coaching with Coach McCarty, and he goes, "Okay, one of your duties is you're responsible toward the end." We always started after the sixth game, so the seven, eight, and nine, and start narrowing down playoff possibilities. That was my job. Well, back then there was no internet.
Yeah.
Okay, so I had to rely on newspapers. I had to rely on phone calls. It was just oh my gosh, it was tough.
Bring back those.
It was tough. Well, for example, not very smart. One year I'm doing it and I'm going through it, and I had a little report to give to the coaches on that Saturday morning. And I said, "Fellas, such and such conference, they're going to get six people in the playoffs." And they go, "You can't get six people from the same conference. Somebody's got to lose, you know." And so I'd already looked at, well, what happened. The conference northeast of Peoria that had like Shenoah in that area in it. Okay, what they'd done, they'd made a super conference, and they divided this east-west, whatever the division was. So everybody played everybody. And that was the first year I can remember where there were teams in that conference that had 44 and 45 playoff points. Well, yeah, because of the way the playoffs work, that's how that works. Yeah. And so that was the first time that we'd had a super conference. And then guess what happened in the next 4 years? They popped up like wild mushrooms. I mean, everybody went to a super conference because you got all the points.
Well, I want to bring in Coach Cook here. So, Coach Cook, you haven't said a word yet. What's going on over there? We normally never get you to stop talking.
Can't get me to stop talking. I'm telling you what. Okay, go ahead. Cut me off.
When you look at tonight, I mean, this is a pretty exciting night around the state, right? When you look, because it's really unique to the high school sports scene where you don't know where you're going in the postseason. You don't know who you're playing. We'll find out in the 8 o'clock hour. But you know, overall, to me, it's just such an exciting night for the kids and the coaches and everybody around. And I know you've been around it a long time. So just kind of speak a little bit about the excitement level of the night when they release the pairings.
Oh, yeah. This is you know, this is one of the things they play for. And then, too, this is the suspense of finding out where they're going, if they're going to be able to play at home, if they're going to play on the road or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. But when I played, you know, you never had you played an 8-game schedule, and that was the end of the year. So that, you know, it's a lot different now, obviously. 70 years, I played 70 years ago.
We know in 2023, Mercer County will be in the 2A postseason, a record of 6-3, Rock Ridge at 8-1. We'll find out where those two teams play. They'll both, of course, be in the northern bracket in Class 2A. It looked like for a while, potentially, those two teams could match up in the first round. Doesn't look like that's much of a possibility now heading into the playoffs. And I know Rock Ridge, it's kind of been projected earlier today that they might be on the road at 8-1, which is something that I haven't seen in a long time, which I think is really interesting. So, Coach Breeden, talk a little bit about that possibility. You know, you think you win 8 games, you set yourself up for a home game in round one, but it looks like Rock Ridge, there's at least a potential where they could be on the road here in round one.
We learned very quickly, Ty, that the whole thing depended on how the state was going to divide it up. Is it going to be a line right down the middle of the state and you have east-west? Is it going to be across the state, north-south? Are there going to be four areas, you know, quadrants? How are they going to do that? And that's what made it, back then, that's what made it so hard. But usually, you know, you thought 8-1, you're safe. But it all depends on how many 9-0 teams there are. And there are only so many seeds to go around. And, no, that is very rare and unusual, that's for sure.
Well, I was thinking about it. What is this, 1977, when there's only 60 playoff qualifiers, and 8-1 teams did play on the road back then, and some didn't make the playoffs at 8-1. But, man, if you're 8-1 and you're going to play on the road in week one, if that's the possibility for Rock Ridge, that tells you there's a lot of teams that are 9-0 and 8-1 in that upper half of that
you
bracket.
Know,
go ahead, Glenn.
No, I was just going to say that last 5 seconds of the Newman game is looming large.
Yeah, that's what I said this morning. Yeah,
yeah. So,
well, to give you an idea, Ty, way back in the day, I won't say the year, but we went 7-2 and didn't make the playoffs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because back in those days, you had to have an 80% one loss. Well, 7-2 is not. It's what, 78 or whatever it is, and we didn't make it. And one of our losses that year, we played East Moline.
Wow. Is that right?
And we got beat 14-7, and the reason we played East Moline, because right late in the summer, one of the teams that we had been playing, they go, nope, we're not playing. Even though we had a contract, they go, we're not playing. And we had to scramble to find a game. Guess what? We couldn't find one. And finally, East Moline goes, well, we'll play it. Well, I suppose you will. Well, the coaching staff, we got down and we decided that we would play the game. And quite frankly, we played well in that game, but we lost. Yeah.
Coming up tonight on the WRMJ Pigskin Playoff Preview here in the 7 o'clock hour, we have a conversation coming up with Greg Armstrong, who is one of the hosts of the View from the West podcast that covers high school football here in our local area. He's also a contributor for WQAD on The Score on Friday nights. We will take a look at Mercer County and Rock Ridge's seasons to this point, a look around the Lincoln Land Conference and the Three Rivers Athletic Conference here later in the 7 o'clock hour as well. And then when we get into the 8 o'clock hour, we will have the brackets revealed in classes 1 through 8A. We also have the 8-man football bracket coming up tonight. We'll talk with local coaches and more. We'll try to get both opponents of Mercer County and Rock Ridge on the air tonight as well. We'll definitely talk with Coach Madlick and Coach Graves. It's the WRMJ Pigskin Playoff Preview on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We'll come back with a conversation with Greg Armstrong after this on WRMJ.
Your bow hunting headquarters is Converse Creek Outfitters outside of Illinois City. With lodging, guided hunts, and the ability to host special events, Converse Creek Outfitters has served hunters across the country for 25 years as an ultimate whitetail and turkey bow hunting destination. Converse Creek Outfitters is a top location in the state for trophy, turkey, and whitetail. Contact Bo Carlson at Converse Creek Outfitters to find out why they've been called a bow hunter's paradise. Visit CoppersCreekOutfitters.com for more information.
Let me.
I don't know what school it was, but right now, Glenn, in all honesty, I think The last tractor you will ever need is here. Get into a Massey Ferguson compact or utility tractor and accomplish more than ever before. These versatile tractors are known for their unbeatable power, smart fuel economy, and...
Yeah, it's like a little kind of... Yeah, test, 1, 2, 3. I can try and get a... You want me to just try and...
from around the nation and beyond. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land, machinery, or classic automobiles, call Steve Larson, your local Sullivan Auctioneers sales rep, today at 309-368-2247 to ensure maximum market exposure for your machinery. That number again is 309-368-2247.
Value, selection, and a knowledgeable sales staff ready to help you find what you're looking for. That's what you'll find at Essig Motors. Here's Julie Young.
This month I have a 2023 Grand Cherokee Laredo 4x4 in Baltic Gray Metallic. Come in and drive it home today after rebate for $47,430.
So make sure you plan a stop at Essig Motors in Aledo today or visit their website at essigs.com.
We're city smart with a country heart.
And welcome back to coverage on the Pigskin Playoff Preview tonight on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Ty Taylor, we have Jim Taylor here as well, and we've got Greg Armstrong from the View from the West podcast, also a contributor at WQAD on Friday nights on The Score. So, Greg, I guess you owed us a return date for us coming on the podcast with you a couple weeks ago. First off, I got to say, I can't speak for you, Dad, but for me, I had a lot of fun that night on the podcast with you guys, so thanks for coming on tonight.
Hey, no, I appreciate it. Thanks for the invite. Anytime I can talk some high school football and, you know, talk about the teams in our area, I love it. And I'm not keeping you guys there. You're not keeping me up late here this time as I did with my broadcast.
Well, so. I want to ask, was that had to be a record for most views in a podcast tonight? No, that's right. Randazzo and Cuffler probably bring the best ratings.
You know, it's funny you say that because, you know, early in the season, there's a, you know, local head coach, you know, one Chip Filler that said that he brought the ratings to the show because of, you know, comments he made. So right. A lot of people claim that they can bring ratings to the show. So we'll credit Stocking, though.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
No, well, I'll say this. And this morning on our show, we were talking to Steve Soucy, and I know you can attest to this because you started in the business in what year?
2005 is when I started in this market.
Oh, yeah. So you're still a youngster, but you know, you there. I told Steve Soucy there's no such thing as press row anymore, right? Because nobody goes to game. You know, there's not true print media coverage, and like for Steve Soucy, I think it's like $49 to a year to subscribe to his service or something like that through his local media entity. And I told people, you know, if you want to support local journalism and you're a high school football fan, pay the man. Subscribe to that service because it costs something. And if you have a sponsor, would you have sponsors at View the West podcast or not?
We just started getting some sponsorships this year. Which
so,
has been
and
great.
This is what I'm going to tell people out there. If you're a business, you should think about sponsoring content like this because this is local journalism. So people need to get on board and support stuff like this financially. So there can be coverage for the youngsters, as we say, because it's all about the kids. So anyway, that's my diatribe, so I'll get off my high horse for a second and let's get back to high school football. But, I mean, people complain about lack of coverage. Well, it costs money for coverage.
Yeah.
So that's
I will say real quick, like, you know, when we started this podcast, now it's been three years, four football seasons. When you go back to that spring, you know, I never anticipated that part of the role our podcast would fill is that void from lack of newspaper coverage. I wish that wasn't the case, but, you know, Mitch and I are proud to step up and give that, you know, that local spotlight to these teams and to these athletes because that's what we've always loved to do. You know, that's kind of why we got into it in the beginning. I wish it wasn't people turning to us because they can't find the newspaper articles. I hope that changes in our area you know, sooner than later. But, you know, we're glad to be here and we're glad to be talking about it. And I, you know, credit what you guys do. You guys do a fantastic job on Friday nights, Saturday mornings, and, you know, and during the week to really promote local athletes and get the local broadcasts out there in the live stream. So I'm listening in for sure. I love it. So.
All right. Thanks a lot. So let's now kind of flip to what we're talking about, right, is the postseason pairings we revealed in the 8 o'clock hour. And for me, Greg, I think we talked about this a little last year too, but just kind of when you talk about like the excitement level, I think tonight is maybe the most exciting day of the season. I mean, obviously, like the season opener is up there when you get to the state title weekend. But we talked about it on Sportsline this morning. You know, around the state, there's 256 schools that are going to find out where they're playing tonight. And this is definitely, I think, my favorite night of the year covering local sports. And I'm sure maybe up there for you, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's just nothing like the Illinois high school football playoffs and this pairings night. You know, no other sport, you don't have to earn your way in. So that's what makes football unique. And the IHSA gets criticized, you know, rightly sometimes, maybe wrongly sometimes, but let's give credit here. They do this for the most part, they do this playoff pairings the right way. And they really do maximize some excitement and they bring that. It's that March Madness type feel, right? Like teams gather and, you know, they wait for their name to be announced. Like, that's a really cool, unique atmosphere that I think Illinois does really well. So, it's exciting to talk about. It's exciting to be around it, and I love it.
So, I'm going to argue with you about this again because we were talking about it at the View from the West Instant Reacts at, like, 2 a.m. in the morning on a Saturday. Well, it was from Friday into Saturday morning. It was like, I remember I walked out of the office that day at 1 o'clock. I'm like, did I just talk high school football for 3 hours until 1 a.m. in the morning? That was
You're welcome, Jim.
You're welcome. So I was telling this to Coach Matlick on our Sportsline program today. This is why I like the 1 through 16 splits with the 1A through 6A brackets, because I like the subjectivity of where the split's going to be in terms of, you know, the north half versus the south half. Now, when we talked to Steve Soucy today, he was telling us that a game involving two public league schools in Chicago at 10 a.m. on Saturday was basically going to determine a couple things. One, if Wilmington was going to be a 2A or 3A team, and then two, the outcome of that Chicago Public League game would determine whether Moroa Forsyth would likely be a north half team or a south half team. I like that because then if it's just about 1 through 32, then doesn't that take the conjecture and the speculation away from everything leading up to playoff pairings on Saturday? I'll let you answer.
I mean, maybe at the end of the day, I think Ty and myself will agree to disagree.
Yes.
But I think that, there are some exciting matchups that 1 through 16 creates. I wish some of those matchups happened later in the playoff pairings, not in the first round. But there are some great atmospheres that are going to come out of this 1 through 16. I just think that, you know, it would be different in the fact that, you know, 1 through 32 would present the who are we playing, where are they from, what conference are they in. There'd be different talking points than there are now. But I think either way you do it, 1 through 16, 1 through 32, it's fun the way it all shakes out, you know, on this weekend.
All right, other question. Now, I've heard this debate before, and we talk about home field advantage in the postseason. Do you think the IHSA should go away from, you know, how they do it with, you know, the number of games that you've hosted determines who will host in a specific round? Because I don't like the fact that if you get to the semifinals, just the way the ebb and flow of the bracket is, the higher seed may be on the road playing in the semifinals. I truly believe that if you're one of the top seeds, you should get home field advantage all the way through. That's what the regular season means, doesn't it? I mean, shouldn't that mean a little bit more?
Yeah, I can definitely see that. And I've going way back, you know, I'll shout out, you know, Nick Bull and Dan Pearson. And we used to, you know, have car rides to games and talk about that endlessly. Like, why are we going here? Why are they playing at home? They shouldn't, you know, they shouldn't be the home team. They should be on the road, you know, and no offense to that home school. They, you know, they deserve to have the home game if they win and get that far. But yes, a lot of times it kind of diminishes a little bit of what you've accomplished in the regular season. I will say that. I on the flip side, you know, if I'm towing the line on both sides, giving, you know, talking out of both sides of my mouth, I'll say it's great to get that school that, you know, hasn't had much playoff success. They win a game or two and they find themselves at home in a quarterfinal game and they haven't hosted one since, you know, 30 years ago, 25 years ago, whatever it is. There's pluses and minuses of that too. I'm not being black or white here. I'm being very gray. I'm towing the line.
All right, let's look ahead now to kind of what we can expect coming up here in a couple hours, an 8 o'clock hour. So we'll start looking at the 2A bracket. Of course, we'll focus on the north side. We touched on the kind of up in the air. Will Moroa Forsyth be north or south? That's obviously a big topic we can get into. But when you look at, you know, the schools locally that we cover, Rock Ridge and Mercer County in that field, Mercer County definitely on the road. It looks like a possibility Rock Ridge at 8-1 could play on the road in the first round. To me, Greg, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, you know, you talk about tough draw. You know, you hear the phrase tough draw this time of year. And this is such a unique tough draw in the fact that, forget who they're playing, it's just the fact that they're 8-1 and they got to go on the road. Like, that's such a, you know, bummer for them. That's a disappointment for that program who's, you know, rides such a wave of momentum here for 8 straight wins. And now to be told you're going on the road and seeding wise there's 8 teams that are better than you, like, I don't know, that's tough. There's a lot of good teams in this bracket, but it's hard for me to think that there's 8 teams better than Rock Ridge.
Right, and when you look at now Mercer County, like we said, will definitely be on the road. They're 1-4 in a row heading into the playoffs, but potentially, you know, kind of depending how things shake out, there's a couple of matchups for them that I think are in play. One of them is Wilmington if they drop to 2A like we talked about earlier. So for Mercer County, what do you kind of think about them heading into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it's what we've kind of talked about all year, Ty. I mean, we've talked about it, and, you know, Mitch and I have talked about it on the podcast. It kind of just depends on what Mercer County team shows up. I mean, I think we've seen some very good Golden Eagle football, and then we've seen some games that kind of leave us, you know, scratching our head a little bit. And I think there is something to be said. You guys had a great interview with Coach Matlick a couple weeks ago after one of their wins. And he was kind of open and candid about, you know, I finally feel like I'm in a rhythm or in a flow of game calling, you know, calling plays on the sidelines. And as a head coach, I think maybe we don't think about that, right? We just think that, hey, Tanner Matlick was a great athlete. He's a great quarterback. He's had some coaching experience. He'll just jump right in. But I think it's more than that. And I think you kind of heard him say as much in his interview with you guys. So I think the big question is, you know, where's he at, you know, getting comfortable with play calling? And then, you know, the players on the field, right? I mean, Colby Cox, I think if he's fully healthy, it seems like he is. And if he's ready to go, if this Mercer County roster in general, if they're healthy, I think that goes a long way for this team to have success in the postseason. Because, like I said, we've seen it in flashes. So if they get the right draw and they show up, I think they could be a dangerous team.
Well, and we talked about this, my dad and I have on Sportsline a couple of times with Rock Ridge. Now, defensively for them, I truly believe, and we talk about, you know, the tough draw, if they are ending up being in that 8-9 game, and then obviously if you win that, you probably play the number one overall seed in the second round. But I really think that Rock Ridge defensively has a state championship caliber defense. I don't know on the offensive side if they can get there, right? But defensively, they are so, so good. So I know the cliche is right, defense wins championships. And if that's the case, I think Rock Ridge has a chance to make a run no matter what the draw is with how well that defense has played all year.
Yeah, I think their defense has shown up in a lot of big situations this year, and they've kind of been the constant, right? Going back to the Newman game in week one, where the offense was kind of struggling to get going. Now, granted, against a very good Newman defense, but you saw Rock Ridge really level themselves out with a good defense the whole time. I think what I'm really impressed by is the night you guys were on the Instant Reacts podcast when we saw that drive from Schweigen and Zarlatanis and, you know, Wheatley came up with the big touchdown catch. So when you look at those guys on the offensive side of the ball, if they're getting in rhythm, they're getting in sync, and they're able to do it in a clutch situation like a game against Morrison on the road, I think, man, that's got to bring some value to the playoffs, right? Like, that has to be a sign that says they could do this on the big stage if they need to.
Well, and I think the other thing, too, that we talk about when we get to this time of the year, you never know what factor weather is going to play in November, because there's going to be at least one game where elements are going to be an issue. And then you have to look at, is this team built for playing in these type of conditions. And normally defensive teams are built to play in those type of conditions. And you mentioned, you mentioned defense, but I think special teams loom so large in the postseason, especially in if you get deep. Normally when you usually get to that quarterfinal or semifinal round, you know, a lot of teams during the regular season, if you don't have to punt or kick, you're like, well, how good are we at this? So those type of plays loom so large. And I like Rock Ridge's special teams this year because I think Zarlatanis, who's a great runner, is a tremendous punter too. And then they have a kid that can get, you know, you get sevens when you score touchdowns because Van de Geest is pretty automatic with PATs, and probably you can consider if you get within, you know, 35 yards, maybe you can legitimately try a field goal. So I think that's big for them too, to have a really good kicker to utilize in these type of postseason games, especially if you're playing low scoring games and you know, hey, we can't get in, move the ball inside the 20 because we're playing a stout defense. Well, hey, let's try to go for three right now. So I think that's a big factor that Rock Ridge has to their advantage.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of, you know, went through all of it right there. Like, they're a well-rounded team. I think that, you know, at different parts of the year, they've, you know, all three phases of the game, they're playing really well. So, you know, that's a great sign for them. Just, you know, looking down this bracket, I think that they've got to be right in the mix. It's a shame that they have to go on the road as an 8-1 team. But I think there's a lot of teams here that they can hang with and that they could, you know, that they could beat, that they could move along.
All right, and I just want to talk to you kind of now about the 2A bracket as a whole. I know you and Mitch the past week or two kind of went over some teams out of the area to look out for in the, you know, classifications down the line. So looking at the 2A bracket, I know we kind of talked throughout the season, like, you know, would you rather be, if you're a northern half, you know, team of the state, would you rather be in 2A or 1A? And I think earlier in the year we said, well, you'd rather maybe be in 2A. But we kind of get to the point now where you look at who could be in this 2A bracket, and we weren't sure about Bloomington Central Catholic. They look like they'll be in 2A. Wilmington looks potentially like they'll be in 2A. Maroa Forsyth looks like they'll be in the north. So, and then a team like Seneca, who's 9-0. So really, I mean, we mentioned Rock Ridge earlier too. I think that the northern half of the 2A bracket to me looks pretty stout, maybe more so than we thought earlier in the year. What about you?
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, you didn't mention there Tri-Valley.
It could right.
Potentially around a 4 seed. I haven't seen them this year, but that's a name that's always in the mix. They're a program that's always been pretty good. I think on this northern end of the bracket, the team that stands out to me is Bloomington Central Catholic. And I know, like, some people are going to roll their eyes because I'm calling out the Catholic school in the bracket. But the fact is they come from the Bloomington area, and they play in a pretty tough conference. I think they're tested week in and week out in that conference. Now, I don't know specifically this year. I know last year I felt like they were really tested, and they came in as either a 5-4 or a 6-3, and they just beat Mercer County, right? Like near the end of the game. And then Rock Ridge was able to get them on the road. So I think that they must have brought a lot of guys back because this seems like a really good team. That's a team I look for. And yeah, Moreau Forsyth is always kind of the X factor is, are they 1A or 2A? Are they north or south? And it looks like they're going to be 2A North, which is a tough. I think as a 2 seed, I like Moreau Forsyth better than I would potentially like the 1 seed in Seneca. I think Seneca's 9-0. They've had two forfeit victories because of teams that couldn't go, teams that didn't have enough numbers. And I just don't know that they've been tested enough. I would look at Moreau Forsyth as a potential, you know, dangerous team in that half of the bracket.
Talking with Greg Armstrong from the View from the West podcast. A reminder, you can download and listen to the podcast each week covering high school football in the western part of the state with Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. We'll take a quick timeout. Come back with more with Greg right after this on the WRMJ Pigskin Playoff Preview.
Hey, Mercer County. Sean here with Agtegrity Precision, your local agriculture precision technology specialist. We hope you have a safe and successful harvest this fall. As you look forward to the 2024 planting season, remember that we are here to service your planting operations, sprayer setups, and offer our expertise on new builds. We specialize in Ag Leader technology and retrofit solutions. We look forward to seeing you next spring. Here's to a great harvest.
The Pumpkin Patch at Skinner Landscaping is now open for the season. Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. through the end of October. Come enjoy the play area with bounce house, pedal car track for all ages, barrel cars for smaller children, corn maze, hay rack ride, and other attractions to keep the kids busy for hours. In the greenhouse, they'll have mums, planters, pumpkins, gourds, and fall decorations as always too. Skinner Landscaping, 906 Southeast 19th Avenue in Aledo.
We all know the joys of a scenic drive, but sometimes Mother Nature has other plans. When a deer meets your car, who do you call? Jeff's Auto Body and Towing, of course. It's a startling moment. A deer darts onto the road and you're left with a dented car. But fear not, Jeff's Auto Body and Towing is here to save the day. With their emergency towing service, one call to 309-584-4337 brings a swift response. The expert team at Jeff's will assess the damage and have your car looking like new in no time. When deer and cars collide, trust Jeff's Auto Body and Towing. Enjoy.
Attention all farmers and growers. Are you ready to take your operation to the next level? Diamond Ag is your go-to source for premium seeds and expert agricultural support. Their carefully selected seed companies, including Stein, Zitavo, Brevant, Midwest Seed Genetics, and LG, are the cornerstone for your success. Diamond Ag understands that your success is their success, and they're with you every step of the way from planting to harvest. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, striving to earn your business every day.
And welcome back to the Pigskin Playoff Preview on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Ty Taylor, Jim Taylor, and Greg Armstrong we have on the line from the View from the West podcast, continuing our conversation.
So looking kind of at the 1A bracket now, kind of out of our coverage area, but I know you guys do a great job covering the Northwest Upstate Illini Conference. It looks like the 1A state title will kind of run through that league again, right, with Lena Winslow. I know, like, down in the southern half of the state, there's a lot of talk about Althoff out of Belleville, who's 1A now, which I know a lot of people can't believe. I know Mercer County played them in 2012 in the state title game in 2A. But talking about, like, the NUIC, I know you see Lena Winslow had a great year, Forreston, Dupex in 3A, but, like, a team like Fulton, too, I mean, that league every year is so, so good. To you, what do you make of that league this year and kind of the 1A playoffs? To me, like I said, it looks like it kind of runs through the NUIC again.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it does. It runs through the NUIC, and it's kind of one of those things where, you know, I just said that, you know, a team has to prove it to me on the 2A bracket. On this side of things, I think any of these teams have to prove they can beat Lena Winslow. Until I see someone do that, I don't know how you pick against Lena Winslow in the postseason in this Class 1A bracket. They've consistently shown up. They've had a stumble or two in the last few years, but I mean, in the regular season, but come playoff time, they're getting the job done. So I think someone's got to prove they can beat them. Overall, when you look at the Northwest Upstate Illini, I think you look no farther than that non-conference matchup when Fulton went on the road to Knoxville, and look what happens there. I mean, a Knoxville team that, you know, we were fairly impressed with. We saw them get the big win over Mercer County. And then Fulton goes on the road and just runs over them. I mean, it's such an impressive score. And I joked on the podcast that I think people get annoyed who are outside of the NUIC when we always talk them up, but it's because they earn it. It's because they earn that talking points because they're winning games like this. So Fulton's a sneaky team in there at 6-3. I think they're a team to watch out for because I think they're playing their best football this time of year. And Coach Lohr, I think, has the Steamers ready to go here. You saw last year a Forreston team was 5-4 in the regular season, made it to the state semifinals. So I think there's a chance that team is Fulton this year.
Well, when you look at the 1A postseason projections, like we talked about earlier with the 1-16 or 1-32, the one thing the 1-16 does give you is kind of the local games early in the rounds, right, where you get kind of the local rivalries. A game that looks like potentially could be in play is maybe Morrison and Fulton, who's a great rivalry, right? They play for the Wooden Shoe, and that looks like that could be a first round matchup. A pair of teams haven't played in a while since Fulton left the track for the NUIC. So to me, that's a pretty exciting matchup if that comes to fruition. I kind of hope it does. What about you?
Yeah, absolutely. That's as soon as I saw the brackets, I was like, oh man, you got to be kidding me. Like Morrison and Fulton in the first round. And we joked on the Instant Reacts podcast last night that this 1A North bracket almost becomes like the View from the West Invitational. You know, it's all of our teams that we cover week in and week out from different conferences end up playing each other. So a bunch of, you know, potential exciting matchups there. You know, looking at the LLC, you got Stark County, Rova, Williamsfield, and Anawan Weathersfield. Stark County took care of business. They went 9-0. You know, huge credit to Coach Nord and the Rebels getting back to kind of, you know, that high watermark where they had been, you know, year in and year out in the Lincoln Trail Conference. And you look at, you know, Anawan Weathersfield and Rova Williamsfield, they, you know, had the stumbling blocks against Stark County. And but Anawan Weathersfield, man, they have not flinched since then. They lost a 1-point game in week two to that Rebels team, and they've really looked good since. So there's a team to kind of watch for. And, you know, Coach Grip out there has that team year in and year out contending, going back to when Coach Johnston was there. This is a program to watch for in that 1A bracket. And, you know, again, don't sleep on Foreston. They're sitting there as a 7 seed if we're back to the NUIC. So just a lot of teams that we cover. And you're right, the 1 through 16 does drum up some local games in this first round. I just, you know, hope it doesn't, you know, feed off each other and then we lose teams later. So,
all right. So you talk about kind of the brackets in play. You know, and I would say if you have, and I know that the love of the NUIC is very deserving, and the state title always runs through them in 1A. We know that with what they've done and the Lena tradition and all the other quality programs. But I argue this year that the 2A North bracket, especially if Moroa stays north, and then you also have Bloomington Central Catholic, who they've just been pounding people in that league they play in that part of the state. The 2A North is going to be this year as tough as it's ever been. That's going to be a gauntlet in the 2A North, too. You would agree with that?
Yeah, I think when you, I mean, just look at the records alone, right? I mean, the fact that Rock Ridge has to go on the road as an 8-1 team kind of shows you that there's a lot of teams that have won a lot of football games this year. So, yeah, that's a tough bracket, that 2A North. And, you know, when you start looking around the state, I don't want to, like, belittle the southern half of the state, but I really do year in and year out feel like the northern half of these brackets, especially 1 through 3A, that's where the best football is being played. And, you know, when you break it down 1 through 16 on the north, I think 1 through 3A is usually where you're seeing your best football. And most of the time it's played out that you're seeing a state champion come from that bracket.
Yeah, and I think everybody in this listening audience kind of, has always, they've had a bias toward, north of Interstate 80 high school football. And then, you know, we're going to get in this debate here, too, with, you know, parochial and public schools as we travel down the playoff field in 1A and 2A with a lot of parochials in there, too. So that's always going to be a debatable issue. And we were talking, you know, when you look at the 1A bracket, and I think in the south half, you know, we have a local kid we'll be rooting for, and Brad Dixon, who went to graduated from Westmoor and has a stout program, great tradition at Camp Point Central. And it looks like, you know, their path through will be Altoff Catholic, Belleville Altoff Catholic, now a 1A team. Now, Dupac last night played them to, a 2 or 3 score game, I think. So I think Lena Winslow kind of beat them by a same margin, because I know some of the websites social media accounts I followed, you know, a lot of people kind of in the south half of the state, well, they say, oh, it's all over Altoff Catholic. They're going to march their way through to state title, typical parochial school. You know, how's the IHSA letting them do that? I disagree. I don't think that they're guaranteed to walk their way through that bracket, because 1A football has been really good. And a lot of people contend the last couple of years, you know, this is a dumb debate we could have some other time, that the 1A state champ the past few years could have beaten the 2A state champ the past few years. Who knows? But I'm saying, you know, when you say it's an automatic state champion for Altoff Catholic, I say there are a lot of schools that say, I don't know about that.
Yeah, no, I think you got to show up and win the games. And Lena Winslow has certainly shown up and won plenty of those games. And even before, you know, Altoff would get that far, again, Brad Dixon and Camp Point Central's won a lot of football games too. And they were in the state title game a year ago. So I think that, yeah, they're a program that, you know, they would meet up on that southern half before we got to a state championship game. So yeah, I think there's a lot of good football down there, and nothing's a given at this point.
Well, and just as we kind of wrap up with you, I know, you know, we talked about the View from the West podcast. You guys produce 2 episodes a week, and for me, it's a great resource to listen to get a lot of coverage, not just around the area, but around the state too. You and Mitch do such a great job. So I definitely want to, you know, tell people to listen each week and maybe two times a week even, right? So thanks for your local coverage. We talked about it earlier, but there's not enough people who do it. So thanks for covering local high school sports the right way, Greg Armstrong.
I appreciate it. I love it. It's so much fun. And it's just, you know, the farther we get into this and, you know, Mitch and I just, you know, we have a blast looking it all up and, you know, compiling the stats and getting the notes ready and just hitting record every week. It's a ton of fun. So, no, I appreciate everyone who listens and, you know, appreciate you guys for, you know, your coverage as well. And, you know, the teamwork that we have together, it's fun.
Right. And then tonight you are a part of a playoff show as well. So you can kind of plug that, what you're doing tonight, where you can listen and watch and see what you're doing tonight.
Yeah, so NUIC football. So head to YouTube and we'll be live there at 7 o'clock. Just search NUIC football on YouTube and you'll find us live. We'll also tweet it out, you know, send it out on X, I guess, as they call it, when we go live there. So we'll be breaking down. The fun part about that show is, you know, it's run through the Northwest Upstate Illini website or, you know, through their account, but Kyle Kampmeyer and, you know, myself will do a lot of research to get information about the southern half of these brackets and teams you need to watch out for and just kind of a full look around the state. I think a lot of times the IHSA coverage, for as good as they do, getting coaches' interviews and everything else, seems like some schools get glossed over. They, you know, just kind of briefly mention some schools. We really try to dive in with the information we know from people who are in those areas covering schools. So I love doing it. It's a ton of fun finding out about the teams around the state and just kind of, once the brackets are revealed, what, you know, what matchups shape up and what teams have a path. It's great. It's fun.
Say my school's name.
Yeah.
So, and that's why I'm just going to piggyback on, you know, supporting these type of efforts. And this is the one thing I always like about like local small market radio is I know like people sometimes in the media get weird about what, you know, can I say these call letters? I'll say, like, you support WMOI, WRAM in Monmouth with Sean Temple, Brian Roosh at WCCI Radio in Savannah. Watch Channel 4, 6, 8, 18. Buy a newspaper and try to support local journalism and get that started. Watch View from the West. You know, watch all these and support all these local efforts that bring attention to local kids. See, there I said it. Mentioned all the local media outlets, so you need to continue to sustain those things. All right, anything else, Ty, or do we cover it all?
I'm not sure we covered it all, but I think we need to let Greg go. I think he's a busy man.
All right, enjoy the sights. You're going to be in Dakota, in the Illinois, in a bunker somewhere, broadcasting on the NUIC bunker is where they broadcast from, so nobody can find out where they're at. It's like a hidden bunker.
Yeah, I saved my annual pilgrimage to the Northwest Upstate Illini country, so, you know.
All right, sir, enjoy the night. Thanks for coming on with us.
Yep, thanks, Greg.
Yeah. You guys, too. Have a good one. Thank you.
You're listening to WRMJ, WRMJ.com. It's the Pigskin Playoff Preview.
Reliable, dependable, and always ready for you. That describes Orwig Auction and Appraisal. Joe Orwig is happy to serve the WRMJ listening area. Orwig Auction and Appraisal can take care of any kind of auction with live and online bidding. If you need an auctioneer or appraiser, give Joe a call at 309-361-0397 or email him at joeorwig@yahoo.com. No auction is too big or too small. When it's time to go to auction, go with Joe at Orwig Auction and Appraisal. Joe says good luck to all area high school football teams competing in the playoffs.
Compeer Financial is always here for our clients and communities. With all the unknowns in our world today, you don't want to worry about your operations financing. We can give you peace of mind with flexible financing options, including long-term fixed rates, and our experienced team will guide you every step of the way. Partner with us today. To learn more, give us a call at 844-426-6733 or visit Compeer.com today. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2021, all rights reserved.
This is Gabrielle Lemonager with Compeer Financial in Aledo. Stop in and see me, Garrett Fike, or Corey Bull for all your ag financing or crop insurance needs.
Happy Joe's aims to please any time of the day, any day of the week. You'll find great food and a good time at your Aledo Happy Joe's. Start your day with their delicious coffee, cinnamon rolls, tasty omelette pizza, and more. You'll always find plenty to eat on their lunch buffet, and you can order your favorite. And the whole family will think you're the best when you treat them to Happy Joe's famous pizza, pasta, calzones, and more. Dine in, carry out, or call for delivery at your Aledo Happy Joe's. Good times to be together.
For healthier crops and stronger yields, count on Nutrien Ag Solutions. By partnering with the leader in plant nutrition, you'll have access to innovative products and unmatched service that deliver impact and efficiency to every acre. Healthier crops, happier growers. Lead the field this season and beyond. Find your local crop consultant at NutrienAgSolutions.com.
See your local Nutrien Ag Solutions in New Boston, Viola, and Alexis.
All right, welcome back to the WRMJ Pigskin Playoff Preview as we are a few minutes away from the 1A postseason pairings getting released at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Throughout 8 o'clock, we'll have the all the classes from 1A to 8A. So as we continue to kind of preview getting set for the postseason brackets to be revealed, we'll talk about the Mercer County Golden Eagles and the Lincoln Land Conference this year, which is kind of a new league that Mercer County was in. Mercer County is 6-3. Mark on the season. The Golden Eagles started the year losing to United 14-6 and back-to-back wins over St. Bede 38-13 and LVC 47-0. Mercer County dropped two games in a row in weeks 4 and 5 to Farmington 42-13 and then 44-0 to Knoxville. Since then, Golden Eagles were 2-3. They've won four in a row to end the regular season over Elmwood Brimfield 20-12, Illini West 36-8, Macomb 24-16. And last night over West Hancock by a score of 44-32. Coach Bill Breeden, you've been around the Golden Eagles a lot this year. Looks like Mercer County kind of playing their best football of the season heading into the playoffs.
Well, I think so, Ty. A couple of reasons for that. One, you know, just everybody getting used to a new system. Sure they are. And that's it's obvious that things are progressing really well. And the next thing is that, oh, my gosh, I can only remember one other season where there were that many injuries and people walking around. And unfortunately, I was on that coaching staff, and I can tell you that wasn't a lot of fun. We spent most of our weekends figuring out who was going to play where rather than focusing on our opponent. And this year, I know that the coaches, you know, Coach Matlick was the same thing. You know, they were moving people around and trying to just field the team. So they had a couple of rough outings, and I think that was the main reason they had those rough outings. But now the last few weeks, they've played good football.
Right. So what do you kind of feel the outlook is for Mercer County in the postseason? Obviously, we don't know the matchup yet, but what do you kind of think? What kind of run do you think this group can make in the postseason now with everybody seemingly healthy and ready to go starting in Week 10?
Well, number one, I think that anybody that plays Mercer County better not underestimate them, even though they look at a 6-3 record. Don't underestimate them because they have some people on the team that can put some points up from anywhere. That's number one. And number two, here's what's so hard to do, Ty, is that but it also makes the playoffs so much fun. You know, how good is somebody else? You know, just because they got the name or just because they were the conference champs, how good are they? It's hard to do that. It's like Wilmington, for example. They never change anything. They always do the same thing. It's foot to foot, and here we go. Now, I don't know anything about them this year. Maybe they're doing the same thing. I know in their big thing is, hey, here's what we do, and we do it really well, and you've got to stop us. Yeah.
And looking around the conference, so Mercer County in their regular season played three playoff teams. They went 1-2 against those teams, beating St. Bede and then losing to both Farmington and Knoxville. On the large school side of the Lincoln Land Conference this year, Farmington, the conference champions, 8-1 overall, 7-0 in the league. Knoxville into the playoffs as well at 7-2, and Mercer County, the third and final team out of the conference to get into the playoffs at 6-3. So what did you think of the, I guess, level of competition Mercer County played? I know that is always kind of a big factor going into the postseason, is strength of schedule. So what did you think of the opponents the Golden Eagles played in 2023?
Well, for my first statement, Ty, would be it was weird.
Yeah.
It was weird because some weird things happened. For example, if you take a look at West Hancock and you take a look at comparative scores, they scored points on everyone, but yet they still finished where they finished. And that's unusual. You take a look at Knoxville, and you take a look at Farmington, obviously good football teams and had good records. What about everybody else? Well, that's so hard, and I keep coming back to it that conference isn't very good. So those guys, yeah, they went 8-1, but I don't really think they're that good. You better not do that. You know, you can't do that, because if you do, you underestimate them, first of all, as a coaching staff. And I don't care who the coaching staff is. If you underestimate your opponent, that's going to get your players are going to believe it also, and it'll bite you.
And Mercer County will. Next year, Coach Cook will get you in here. I want to get your opinion on this. So Mercer County be in the Three Rivers Athletic Conference next year. That's going to be pretty exciting, I think, right, for everybody around the area.
It's what we've all been waiting for, isn't it? We just can't wait for the rivalry between Mercer County, Rock Ridge, Sherrard, Orion. That's the way it ought to be. It should have been this way all along, you know. So,
yeah. I'm excited for next year. But this year now, the small school side of the Lincolnland Conference this year has four teams in the playoffs. Stark County, a perfect 9-0. They were the conference champions on that side of the league. Anawan Weathersfield into the postseason at 8-1. Rova Williamsfield, a nice year for the Cougars. They're 7-2. And Princeville in the playoffs as well at 5-4. All right, we'll take a timeout, come back, and take a look at the Rock Ridge Rockets season. And check out the rest of the Three Rivers Athletic Conference teams heading to the postseason in 2023. Back with more on WRMJ right after this.
Don't let your property be damaged by a leaky roof. If it's time for a new commercial roof to protect your investment, consider a Duralast roof from Riddle Roofing. Duralast Roof Incorporated is the world's best roof, ideal for flat or low-sloped application. It's durable, energy-efficient, and backed by the best warranty in the business. Protect your investment with a new roof from Riddle Roofing. For a free estimate, call Riddle Roofing in Aledo at 309-582-8532. That's 582-8532.
Love it, hate it, it happens every year, and one of the most important things you can do to prep for or maintain in cold weather is to call Lucky Duck Heating and Air Cooling. Locally owned and operated by Darren and Missy Harrison, Lucky Duck can perform important furnace checks, repairs, and maintenance, mini splits, and much more. Serving the Quad Cities area, and if you're located in Mercer or Southern Rock Island counties, you're in luck when you call Lucky Duck Heating and Cooling at 235 39th Street, Moline. Call 309-797-2828.
Your bow hunting headquarters is Coppers Creek Outfitters outside of Illinois City. With lodging, guided hunts, and the ability to host special events, Coppers Creek Outfitters has served hunters across the country for 25 years as an ultimate whitetail and turkey bow hunting destination. Coppers Creek Outfitters is a top location in the state for trophy, turkey, and whitetail. Contact Bo Carlson at Coppers Creek Outfitters to find out why they've been called a bow hunter's paradise. Visit CoppersCreekOutfitters.com for more information.
Dominate adventure with the Kawasaki Terex family of rugged side-by-sides. The two-passenger Terex and four-passenger Terex 4 recreational side-by-sides deliver the perfect balance of performance and comfort on the trails. The two-passenger Terex KRX 1000 and four-passenger Terex KRX 4 1000 sports side-by-sides are built with next-level capability and power to deliver the adventure of a lifetime. Visit your local AC McCartney or learn more online at acmccartney.com.
All right, welcome back to the Pigskin Playoff Preview on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. About 7:55 as we now turn our attention to the Rock Ridge Rockets and the Three Rivers Athletic Conference. Coach Bill Breeden had something to say about the track before we get into that. So what do you got, Coach?
Well, Glenn, what you said about it, that's the way it should have been in those four schools, and we talked about it off air, what rivalries they were. Oh, my gosh, it was so intense. So I'm looking forward to coming back to that. I'm looking forward to just to every Friday night. Oh, my gosh, gear it up, boys, because you're going to have to. Now, when we went to the other conference way back when, I told the Lido people, I said, not only have we've changed conferences, but everything's going to be different. For example, facilities are going to be a lot different. Okay, that's number one. And we might go to a place, and I told him, there might be 10 places for visiting fans to sit.
We kind of saw that last night.
And there'll be a porta potty, and then in the third quarter, a coon dog will run across the road. and now look at the venues that you're going to be going to. Look at all of the home fields that we'll be playing in, and it's just, that's going to be a pleasure. And instead of like down here, and I won't pick on some small school down south, the school never made any money from a gate, you know, because there was nobody there. But okay, now bring Rock Ridge down and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Or we go up there and see what happens. So it's a lot different in a variety of ways, and it just not just on the field.
Right. You know, exactly.
It's the whole deal. It's the town. It's everybody. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
So Rock Ridge in 2023, an 8-1 mark, the champions of the Track West for the second year in a row. Rock Ridge coming off a quarterfinal appearance a year ago where they lost to Marola Forsyth 21-7. Rock Ridge opened the season with a 12-7 loss at home to Newman Central Catholic. Since then, the Rockets on an 8-game winning streak over Ridgeview Lexington 39-32. Then they beat Riverdale 61-14 in week 3. In week 4, a 31-28 winner in a great game on the road at Sherrard. The Rockets then beat Orion in week 5, 54-20. Beat Monmouth Roseville in week 6 on a Saturday, 28-13. The final 3 weeks of the season began in week 7 with a win over Morrison on the road, 14-7. They beat Hall in week 8, 35-0, and then a 41-6 winner last night over Erie Prophetstown. So we'll welcome Jim Taylor back in. You missed the last segment with Mercer County, but what do you think of the Rockets' winners of 8 in a row? And we've talked about a lot that defense they have. You know, really, really, really strong, and I think potentially kind of the anchor for what they're going to try to do in the postseason.
Yeah, and that's the one thing, their identity. I know talking to Coach Graves about what is the identity of this team, and we've talked about his program over the years. We've always talked about a very mobile, athletic quarterback. They have that this year with a freshman, but their identity has been their defense, and specifically really kind of their front seven have been such a force. And their run defense has been tremendous, and we saw Coach Cook can attest to this, where the statistical numbers that Morrison was racking up heading into week 7 was impressive. And Morrison was limited to 3 first downs in that game, and the first one wasn't until the third quarter on a fluke play that got over a well-defended pass play, and then they quickly ran up to the line of scrimmage and ran kind of a sweep play for a touchdown. At the time, it was a scoreless game. But and then the next week against Hall, they gave up 1 first down in the mud in the muck. So they gave up 4 first downs in 8 quarters. And I don't know what the outcome was last night. I can't imagine they gave up too many yards to Erie Prophetstown. It was a mercy rule game quick. And I told Coach Graves that the one thing that's been that I was most impressed with after the Morrison game, what was going to happen in week 8 and week 9. And we saw what happened in week 8. They pounded Hall Township into submission. And then at last night, it sounds like they jumped on Erie Prophetstown to make a quick game of it.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. You know, I want to go back to the Sherrard game and what we were talking about a rivalry. Sherrard could have easily won that game. And that the rivalry is the reason why they could have won that game. Because both schools, let's face it, Rock Ridge has a target on their back right now. Softball, you name it, they've got a target on their back. Mm-hmm. People want to beat Rock Ridge at almost anything. Yep. And you don't think that game at Sherrard, I'm telling you, that was one of the best games we had all year.
Oh, yeah, in a long time. Great game.
It was a great game. And then obviously the most exciting and fun night that I had was the night up at Morrison, Jim, when we had can I tell about this?
Yeah, story?
Administrator, I'm not going to say which one, came into the press box before the game and
true
went
story.
On. And
true
went,
story.
Yeah, he went on for a good 10 minutes, maybe 15, about how bad they were going to beat us. And he wasn't being a smart A about it. He was just being matter of fact.
I kind of thought he was.
Coach
Cook.
Yeah, I bought
story,
into
it. He was really
it.
Worried about that.
Yeah, I bought into worry. It. I thought we must be playing Notre Dame here. And he said we've got 5 guys faster than anybody you've got, and so on. I mean, we're going to score 40 points. We'll double the score on you. Went on and on and on. I'm telling you, they couldn't do anything. They couldn't do anything.
First downs.
Yeah, and so I would have loved to have seen that gentleman after the game.
Yeah, he didn't come by after the game.
No,
but
he
I was going to tell Coach Breeden the one thing I thought about you a couple times doing Rock Ridge this year, and I thought about the late Rick Amy, and I thought about Coach Bob Mitten. because I hope you get a chance to see Ryan Lower play, who, of course, his father's an Aledo grad, and then we know the Aledo connection with Landon Bulls, Nick, when you coach Nick Bull. But you guys always call, you know, when you see a kid that, you know, it's just one of those kids that'll run through the wall and has football instinct, that you guys always say, tough hombre. And I'm like, Ryan Lower, tough hombre. Man, I hope you get a chance to see him play.
You bet.
And then some of the other defensive players.
All right, we're past 8 o'clock, so we'll take a quick timeout here on WRMJ. Before we get there, quickly want to run through the rest of the teams in the track that are in the postseason. On the west side, Rock Ridge at 8-1, Morrison at 8-1, and Monmouth-Roseville at 5-4. On the east side, Princeton 8-1, Kewaunee 8-1, and Newman Central Catholic at 7-2 into the playoffs. So we'll take a timeout. We'll come back and have the 8-man football bracket right after this on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
If you have farmland, farm machinery, or classic automobiles to sell, call Sullivan Auctioneers, a big iron company. Headquartered in Hamilton, Illinois, Sullivan Auctioneers is one of the largest real estate and farm machinery auction companies in the nation. For more than 40 years, Sullivan Auctioneers has been conducting professional auctions, bringing buyers and sellers together from around the nation and beyond. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land, machinery, or classic automobiles, call Steve Larson, your local Sullivan Auctioneers sales rep today at 309-368-2247 to ensure maximum market exposure for your machinery. That number again is 309-368-2247.
Value, selection, and a knowledgeable sales staff ready to help you find what you're looking for. That's what you'll find at Essig Motors. Here's Jim Anderson.
I have a very nice 2024 Equinox LT all-wheel drive, sterling gray metallic. Very beautiful vehicle. Come in today and drive it with me. Take it home for $32,490.
So make sure you plan a stop at Essig Motors in Aledo today or visit their website, Essig's.com.